Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 and 16, this is God's word. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our God stands forever. Amen. Well, from this morning, it's not that long ago, I hope you recall, we considered again the Christian call of how we are to walk, how we are to live. And from verse 15, we are to walk carefully. We are to walk, the word could mean strictly according to the revealed word of God. We are to walk carefully. How are we to walk carefully? We are to walk in particular, wisely. To walk carefully is to walk wisely. To walk wisely is to walk carefully. Well, how are we to walk wisely? That, again, would encompass the whole word of God to us. But verse 16, Paul is continuing the thought. These verses aren't completely separate. They go hand in hand. Verse 16 flows out of verse 15. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. And what is that wisdom, at least here? Making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. The Greek word here that begins verse 16 is a word from the world of business. The root word is the Greek word for marketplace, the agora. We get agoraphobia from this word, the fear of open places or the fear of going outside. But the agora was the marketplace, the place where business was done. And to this root word, an intensifying prefix is added by Paul. And so one dictionary would translate this word as an intense buying up, a buying which exhausts the possibilities available. This word also has the sense of a buying back, something that in some way has been lost and then purchased back by the purchaser. Probably many people remember this verse in the King James Version language. Redeem the time. Redeem the time. And that word redeem is often the translation of this word, or the root word here, when Jesus himself is doing the buying. That's when we usually think of this word redeem, and rightly so. Galatians 3:13 uses this word. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. Christ redeemed us, and the cost of redeeming us was his suffering the curse in our place for sin, the guilt of our sin, to buy us back from sin and death and hell. Or 1 Corinthians 6:20, for you have been bought, purchased, redeemed with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. And just one more, Revelation 5:9, and they sang a new song, saying, worthy art thou to take the book and to break its seals, speaking of Jesus, for you were slain and did purchase for God with your blood people from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. Christ purchased with his own blood people for God. This is what Jesus did. This is what redemption is. This was the work that he accomplished as he paid the price of his own life's blood, the suffering of his body, and especially his soul throughout his whole life, but especially on the cross. In that sense, with this word before us, that's what the cross was. It was a purchase. What Christ did in his life and in his sacrificial substitutionary death was not simply make salvation possible for people. He actually purchased people for God. You see how active it is. He redeemed them. When he said on the cross, after the hours of darkness, tetelestai, it is finished. They found that word in some archaeological finds in the sands of the desert where papers, even parchments, papyri have been preserved. And they found some bills, some invoices, business invoices from ancient times. And on some of them, they found that word written, tetelestai. And it basically can mean paid in full. Paid in full. That's what Jesus said on the cross when he purchased the people that God had given him from all eternity. He purchased them. He redeemed them. He bought them back on the cross. Well, if you are a blood-bought, redeemed, purchased servant of God, child of God, how should you then live? That's what Paul is describing here. The redeemed, according to Ephesians 5, verse 16, think of it this way, the redeemed are called to redeem. Not in the same way that Jesus redeems his people, obviously. He is unique in that. We are called, we are redeemed and called to redeem. In particular, to redeem the time. To redeem the time. That redeeming of time is an appropriate, wise, careful response to the redemption of Jesus Christ. And so, redeem the time. Often when people hear those words, they think probably first and foremost of something that we could describe maybe as good time management. Redeem the time. Make good use of the time that you have. And that's not unbiblical. We are stewards of everything, including the years and the months, the days, the hours, the minutes that God gives us. And we will give an account for that. Psalm 90, give us a heart of wisdom to number our days. That is to walk wisely. And to redeem the time then in that sense, to be a good steward of the time that God has given us in this world is probably a message that most of us need to hear again and again, to hear regularly. To put it negatively, we are to watch out for time stealers or time wasters. Time is the ultimate non-renewable resource. We can't turn back the clock. Time is the ultimate non-renewable resource. And with that thought before us, let me just shoot at the biggest, easiest target in terms of redeeming the time and not wasting time. And that just has to be, in our culture, time on devices. Time on devices. One data research organization says that if you assume a 72-year lifespan, the average time spent on social media by Americans would add up to 6 years and 8 months of your life. Constant, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. 6 years and 8 months. They broke it down. 1 year, 10 months on YouTube. 1 year, 7 months on Facebook. 1 year, 2 months on Snapchat. 8 months on Instagram. In addition to that time on social media, you would have spent 8 years, on average, people, 8 years and 4 months watching television. That's a lot of time. But now, the problem is not the technology. The problem is not the technology. You're on technology right now, and I hope that this isn't a time waster. This is a good use of time and technology. The question is, or could be put this way, Are you being a good steward of the time that you do spend on devices? Are you growing as a Christian by the time that you spend in front of a screen? Or is it subtly, slowly pulling you farther away from God? Are you blessing others by using it? Or are you maybe subtly hurting yourself? We all should ask those questions. Those are good questions. It's interesting, 41% of Gen Z social media users said that they have considered quitting social media completely because they thought they were wasting too much time. There wasn't a statistic for how many actually followed up on that desire, but they recognized it. And that's just people in the world in general. These are good questions to ask. And even if we've never used social media, time wasters surround us all. Now, I'm not just advocating becoming a workaholic. That's to fall off the road on the ditch on the other side. Christ himself endorsed times of rest and recuperation. God blessed the Sabbath day, a day of rest, and made it holy. Maybe better questions would be in terms of the things that that take up our time. First, is it sinful? Then we know how we should respond to it. Is it sinful? Is it fruitful? Is it pleasing to God? Can we, before God, really say that what we are doing with our time in this way or that way is pleasing to him? If the answer to any of those questions is no, is it fruitful? Is it pleasing to God? Then that's just not a right and good use of your time. Using time wisely is a valid question and concern, especially for redeemed Christians. But the word Paul uses here for time is not the usual Greek word for calendar time, for hours and minutes kind of time, chronos, where we get chronometer or chronology. It's not that word. It's the word kairos that has more the sense of season or opportunity. Both words are used in the Greek translation of the Old Testament in Ecclesiastes 3:1. For there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. They both have to do with time, but they're different. They're nuanced. Or Acts 1:7, Jesus said, "It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power." This word for time, again, and that's, I think, the NIV here gets the sense of it, making most of every opportunity. The time, the word time here is used in various ways in the Bible. It is a time that can come, the times that come, the seasons that come, a time that can be fulfilled, a time of temptation, a time of blessing, the right time, the wrong time. That's this sense of the word time. So again, the NIV and some other English translations give what is most likely the proper sense here, making the most of every opportunity. Some scholars suggest that Paul borrowed this language, exactly the same language and words are used in the Greek version of Daniel chapter 2, verse 8. And that may be, and it would give a good sense of the word here. Daniel 2, 7 and 9, the king's advisors say, "Let the king tell his servants the dream." You remember the story. "And we will interpret it." Then the king answered, "I'm certain that you are trying to gain time," is the way the NIV translates it. But it's the same word here. You're buying time. because you realize that this is what I have firmly decided. If you do not tell me the dream, there's only one penalty for you. You've conspired to tell me misleading and wicked things, hoping the situation will change. So then tell me the dream, and I will know that you can interpret it for me. And so here's that language. And though the motive in that context may have been selfish, the response is understandable and why the king would say that. Do you see the point? To redeem the time, to buy the time, is in light of the situation that you're in, trying to use your time in the most advantageous way. That's the sense. And that fits to what Paul is saying here about a wise and careful walk. Making the most of every opportunity. Buying the time, buying the season, buying the opportunity, or buying it back as if the default position is that you lose it and it fritters away. And we'll see that there's something to that in a fallen world. Make the most of every opportunity. Buy up the opportunity. Have you ever gone to a store and come back with two or three or maybe five or six of some product? Maybe some special ice cream or something, and the person at home says, why'd you buy all that? And you just say, it was just such a good deal. I couldn't resist. You bought up the opportunity. That's really a good illustration of what we are called to here as Christians. This is what a careful, wise Christian is called to do. Make the most of, and Paul writes here in the original, the time, singular. It could refer, first and foremost, to this life in its totality. This time that God has given you in this world. Make the most of the time, the opportunity that you've been given being born into this world. C.T. Studd, the missionary, said it so poetically, one life to live will soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. But the opportunity of life in general is filled with all kinds of different seasons. All kinds of different seasons that come to us in God's providence. And our attitude shouldn't be really, I think, here I am in this season. I wish it was a different season. We can do that. That's coveting seasons, really, in a way. There's nothing wrong, of course, with working toward a new or better or different situation, if it's according to God's word. But at that time in God's providence, in that season, here's what Paul says. Buy it up for Christ, for the gospel, for the kingdom. You're in a season by God's providence. This is the way to look at it. Buy it back. Make the most of it. Redeem it. William Hendrickson, the commentator, says there are all kinds of seasons of opportunities to grow in grace in these different seasons, to build others up, to witness to the world. We think of, again, Colossians 4, 5, be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity that we might have. So you see, as Paul thinks about living in this world, interacting there with unbelievers, he's not consumed by fear and danger or trouble and or temptation or cost. He's certainly aware of these things. He recognizes those things. He lived them. But he sees and thinks in terms of opportunities and buying them up, redeeming them. One writer said, no times, no seasons, are so adverse to the godly or hindered by such difficulties that the wise cannot find opportunity in them to glorify God, to promote the gospel or grow in Christ. What a call this is. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. What is wisdom? Making the most of every opportunity. That's the mindset that we should have as we wake up every morning, as we enter into whatever season of life it may be, whatever opportunity may be given to us, making the most of it. What are some of those seasons in which, by God's grace, providence, and wisdom, we are called to make the most of? In which we are to be purchasing for Christ, redeeming for God's glory. Well, you just let your mind think over life. And there's so many seasons. Childhood, youth, being a young person. Make the most of that opportunity if that's where you're at in life. Ecclesiastes 12:1. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come and the years approach when you will say, I find no pleasure in them. Oh, the time of youth, redeem that season. Make the most of that opportunity. Make the most of your strength, of your enthusiasm, of your relative freedoms, of the opportunities that are before you. Redeem them in Christ and for Christ in the gospel. But maybe you're at midlife when much of the world is in crisis. Make the most of that opportunity. There are blessings. There are opportunities in midlife that you didn't have when you're younger, and you won't have perhaps when you're older. But even when you are older, retirement, old age, the Christian, the Bible, Christianity doesn't practice some kind of ageism, that when you get to a certain age, you're useless for the kingdom. No, Psalm 92:14, they will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green. And that's not so much physically. Outwardly, we're wasting away. But spiritually, your life and testimony in Christ, you can make the most of that season. You're called to do it if that's where you are this afternoon. Think of the season of being healthy or the season of being sick. Two different kinds of seasons of life. Make the most of them. Sometimes we have a lot of wisdom when we're sick, and we think about the things we've taken for granted and how we should think and live when we're healthy, but we can forget that so quickly. Sometimes when we think we're sick, we're maybe housebound, we're maybe shut in, we can't do anything. There are things that we can do by God's grace, even when we're sick. And so this is the call. Make the most of the time, the season, the opportunity. There's this time of life when you're single. With all the other thoughts that you may be having when you're single, here's a thought. Make the most of this opportunity. Make the most of this season of life. Or married, same thing, same call. There are the different circumstances or situations we find in life. Are you in school? Then for Christ's sake, for the sake of the gospel, make the most of that opportunity. Redeem it. Do you have a job or you're working? Make the most of that opportunity. Is it a time of leisure? Make the most of it. Just have that thought before your eyes. In whatever situation you're in, there are times of peace and there are times of trouble in life. Both of them we're called to redeem. In Northern Ireland in the 1970s, the terrorist acts that were happening every day, and Belfast was a war zone. The Irish euphemistically call that the Troubles, and they certainly were. But they were called to redeem those times. the church, people of God. And we all have troubles. You know, when we have this verse before us, make the most of every opportunity, every season of life. How can we not think of the situation we're in now with COVID and the pandemic? Has it changed a lot of things? Yes. Do we wish things were back to normal? Yes. But in the meantime, have you thought at all? Have you prayed? Have we discussed as Christians, as the church, as our congregation, the way that we should have? How can we make the most of this season? That should be one of our primary questions, according to Ephesians 5:16. That's how we should enter into these seasons of life. Lord, give us the wisdom and the power by your Spirit to redeem this time, to make the most of it. There are times when I don't enter into seasons of life that way. This verse is very convicting, but it's very encouraging as well, because God wouldn't call us to this unless he would help us, unless he would have good for us, the God who created us in Christ Jesus for good works, which he prepared in advance for us to do, Ephesians 2:10 says. Now, someone in the congregation recently wrote me to say that he was making a list of good things that he could see coming out of this time of pandemic. What a great project. I hope he shares it with the congregation, even if it's anonymously at some point. That's a good project. How can we see the good in this time? Are we making the most of it? You know, we could put it this way. According to the title of the sermon, are we entrepreneurial Christians? That really comes just from that word, from the marketplace, buying up the time, purchasing it, buying it back, redeeming it. Are we entrepreneurial Christians? I think that is an appropriate adjective to use for the wise Christian life. Entrepreneurial people, successful people in the world, in the world's business, prosper in good times and in bad times. That's their mentality. That's their mindset. Make the most of the situation. Whatever comes, how can we make the most of this? And so often in the church, Luke 16:8 is true, for the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. I couldn't help but think of Matthew 25 in the parable of the talents. But he who received the one talent went and dug in the ground and hid the Lord's money. I was afraid, he said, and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look here, there you have what is yours. But his master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. Ephesians 5:16, make the most of every opportunity. Oh, there are other seasons too we could go on and consider. Make the most of the Lord's Day, that season one day in seven. Is that the way we approach it? Lord, please help me to make the most of this day, this time that you've given me, a day of worship. Do I make the most of it? There are only a finite number of Lord's days that you will have in your life. You pray to make the most of them. Prayer meetings. There's an opportunity. There's a season. Can you honestly say before the Lord, Lord, I've made the most of this blessing, this blessed opportunity that you have given to me in Providence, that there is a prayer meeting, that your people are gathered to pray, and I can join them. Have you made the most of that opportunity? Communion services. We could go on. The spiritual life of the church, the means of grace, are seasons that God calls us to make the most of. And as we think about this call to make the most of every opportunity, there is a sense of urgency in Paul's words, isn't there? Why? Because, he says, the days are evil. The days are evil. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of opportunity, every opportunity, because the days are evil. I think first there's an encouragement. When we think Paul wrote this in the first century, the days were evil then too. They were evil then, and Paul still wrote what he wrote. The Holy Spirit still gave this word to the church. There's nothing new under the sun for us. Evil surrounds us every day. We face it outside of us. We wrestle with it inside of us. But wisdom sees and understands that the days are evil. The days are evil. And by God's grace, wisdom responds appropriately. Wisdom knows the days are evil. Pilgrim's Progress, you remember, Pilgrim came to know that the city of destruction and those living in it shall come to a miserable ruin, he said, except some way of escape can be found whereby we may be delivered. At this, his close relatives were greatly amazed. It was not that they believed to be true what he said to them, but rather because they thought some frenzied distemper had gotten into his head. Consequently, with the night approaching and with the hope that sleep might settle his brains, they got him to bed with all haste. However, instead of sleeping, he spent that evening in sighs and tears. When the morning was come, they asked as to how he was feeling, and he told them worse and worse. He also intended to talk to them again, but they began to firmly resist him. They also contrived to drive away his demented frame of mind by means of surly behavior toward him, responding with contemptuous and irritating behavior. Sometimes they would deride him. Sometimes they would chide him. At other times, they would quite neglect him. But what did he know? He knew the days were evil. And there is a city of destruction and a heavenly Zion. And it affected how he lived his life. The days are evil. That can mean so many things in Scripture. But it means we live in a fallen world. That because of Adam's sin, we're born in a fallen condition. People are lost. People are lost. That's the world that we live in. We meet some of them every day. Make the most of every opportunity. We pray for many of them every day, that we would make the most of the opportunities that we have as we interact with them. The days are evil. Satan prowls around. Our battle is not against flesh and blood. It'll say later in Ephesians 6:13, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Make the most of every opportunity. Redeem the time. Be careful. The enemy prowls. The days are evil. Sin is always there, crouching at the door, tempting me not to buy up the opportunities, either because of lack of love for God, lack of love for other people, the temptation to live selfishly. The days are evil. The days are evil. We can become weary. We face opposition, discouragements, discouragers. We experience thanklessness, fruitlessness, seeming fruitlessness. And this can all cause us to lose heart. Paul says in Galatians 6:9, let us not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. The days are evil. That means because of the fall as well, our days are numbered. Our days are numbered. Time is short. So redeem it. There's a church in Belfast. It was the congregation of Ian Paisley. And on the front of the church and the tower, there's a large clock, and underneath are the words, the time is .. short. The time is short. That's what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 7:29. What I mean, brothers, is that the time is short. One day, the opportunities of this life will cease. So Jesus says, as long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. And that's the great hope that we have. Evil days are dark days, but they're opportune days for the gospel. Evil days, dark days, are days when the light can shine the brightest. Wake up, O sleeper, and the light of Christ will shine on you. Make the most of every opportunity. Paul in Romans 13 writes with language very similar to Ephesians 5, 15 and 16. Listen to what he said. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. How do you make the most of every opportunity? You love. Do this understanding the present time. The hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. Beloved, may God help us by his word and by his spirit to be very careful then how we live, how we walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil.